الله يا ربي. Can we please close the door? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, if those who want to follow the talk can come a bit nearer, it's from the Sunnah. Not you're all right. Okay, you're okay. To sit a bit closer. Okay. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدي وحبيبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. فأسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين أحسنه, إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. ثم أما بعد, فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to continue with our journey through the divine names. And as we said at the very beginning, it is a blessing that we are actually reflecting and pondering over the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is one of the things that people today don't seem to do a lot. They don't seem to very often think about the names of Allah jalla wa ala. They don't try to understand them. They don't know how to live them. And subhanAllah, if this were to be a rapper or a singer today in this place, I don't know who, then maybe the mosque would have been filled with people. People would leave their favorite series for that. They would leave their dinner for this. And when it's about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very often there are not as many people as would go to see a singer or Ronaldo playing football or Liverpool. And this is because we are at the end of times, where the majority of people no longer try to contemplate over the deen. So it became something very cheap today. So what we want to do, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to look at these names, what they mean, how they can change us, how we can be transformed through these names, and what they mean to us. And last time we spoke about Ash-Shakur, today we are talking about At-Tawwab. We are talking about At-Tawwab subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at the Arabic words, then you will find that there are patterns. And there are patterns. And this we call Al-Mizan Al-Sarfi. And this is a morphology, isn't it? There is a scale, the morphological scale, if you can say it like that. It's a tongue breaker for me. And when we look at them, we understand what it means. So we will see, for example, in Arabic, there are always root letters. And these root letters, in order to understand a word, you are in need of understanding the root letters. What do they stand for? Like when I say Ash-Shakur, Mashkur, Shakkar, Shikir, Shakira, Shikira, Mashkura, it is all with a sheen, a kaf, and a ra, shakara. So in order to understand what all of this means, I have to understand what shakara means. And you will see that all these different patterns, they mean something else. Like very often, a place starts with a meme. Like the place where I do sujood, masjid. The place where I learn, madrasa. You see that? The place where people ask for to be cured, or where people cure, mustashfa or mashfa. And all of these places usually start with a meme. You see this? And when you have fa'il, like shakir, nam, you have qari, you have katib, and so forth, they show you that he or she is the one that is doing it, is doing the kataba, is doing the and so forth. So now, when we look at tawwab, we see that it's on the scale of morphology where it says fa'al. And fa'al means someone or someone doing something regularly, continuously. You see this? So there's a difference between saying someone is kadhub, someone is kadhib, and someone is kadhab. No? So kadhab, tawab, shakar, ghaffar means someone continuously doing this no matter what. Is that clear? So when we are going to look into the Quran, try to stay with me, we are going to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He is ghafir, ghafoor, and ghaffar. Ghafir, ghafoor, and ghaffar. But when we look at the sinners, we see that they are zalim, zaloom, and zalham. For every single one of them, there is an opposite. So now, when we are going to look at the name At-Tawwab, it's not the same as Ta'ib. So Tawwab means, and we are going to say what it means, At-Tawba in the language means Ar-Rujur, coming back. Coming back. This is Tawwab. تاب الرجل إلى الله إعاد إليه عاد إلى طاعة ربه وترك المعصية. Meaning, when the man tab or the woman tabat, came back to Allah. So when someone tells you tub إلى الله, do tawbah, it means go back to Allah. What does it mean going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Going away from a sin to obedience, or coming back from doing something which you are not, like prayer for example. Is that clear? So now the tawwab has three meanings in the Arabic language. When I say, when the pattern has three meanings. The pattern has three meanings. One of them is, Allah is tawwab, Allah is the one coming back. We are going to explain this. The other one is the servant coming back. What does this mean? Yani Imam al-Ghazali says, Allah is tawwab, every time that His servant comes back with repentance, He comes back with forgiveness. Yani, you just have to turn back to Allah and He turns back to you. That's it. But now, our scholars gave an example. Like, imagine you being a father. You're a father. And two fathers. And you send your kids to university somewhere far away. You have one dad, and that dad says, like, you know what? Here's the money for your university. In a year, you have to succeed, and then you come back. He's a kind father. But he doesn't really follow up what his son is doing. It's just, here is the money, here are the books, in a year come back. Another father says, every 2 weeks I want to know what you are doing. Every 2 weeks you have to tell me. You come back to me and you explain what is going on. Who will be more likely to succeed, do you think? The first son or the second one? The second one. At-Tawwab is the one that reminds you to come back to him. You see the difference? So At-Tawwab is not only the one granting you forgiveness, but he's also the one reminding you of your sin so that you would come back to him. Is that clear? So now, sometimes you might just be walking on the street, driving a car, and all of a sudden you remember a sin. You don't know where it comes from. You're just looking around. Say, subhanAllah, I didn't do tawbah for this. Or I have to rectify this. So all of a sudden you are reminded. You don't know where it comes from. It comes from a tawwab. So the tawwab is the one that reminds you of your sins so that you at the end would pass before your exam. Is this clear? So this is, as we said, and it's not the same of course, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the one accepting your repentance, but also the one reminding you to repent. And this is also one of the meanings of a tawwab. Okay. Now when you see the meaning of tawwab, as I said, when we look at it from morphology, I wanted to say the other one that always breaks my tongue. Morphological. Oh, khalas. Say it again. Morphological point of view, then we see that it means the one that keeps on doing it. Meaning that every time that you sin and you repent, He accepts it. Subhanallah. Even if he knows that you are going to repeat the same sin. So at that particular instance, when you're saying, Ya Rabbi, never again. This, wallahi, this was my last time. I will never skip a prayer again. I will never miss a prayer again. I will never gossip again. I will never look at haram again. Listen to haram. I will never have hasad again. Ya Rabbi, I will never complain to khalq again, to the creation about you, what you do with me, my life. You say, wallahi. And you believe yourself. A week later, there you are again. Now, did Allah forgive you between these two moments and this space in time? Yes. Because He forgives us in accordance to our actions, not in accordance to His knowledge. Because then nobody would ever be forgiven. Because He knows that we will return to the sin very often. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bani Adam khatta." He didn't say yukhti. The khatta. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every child of Adam commits sins, a lot of sins. And the best from amongst those who commit sins are those who repent. And this is why Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah azza wa jalla, he said in his book, Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen, which is the last book of Imam Al-Ghazali, as I said last time, but he didn't write the book. He dictated the book. And then people wrote it down. So he said it, and his best student wrote it down. But it's still Imam al-Ghazali's book. So Imam al-Ghazali, in Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen, he says, فَكُلَّمَا أَهَانَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِالذَّنْبِ أَهِنْهُ بِالتَّوْبَةِ. Every time that shaitan disgraces you by making you commit a sin, disgrace him by repentance. And then he will stop. The only reason why our sins continue is because we do not repent enough. So shaitan says, okay, that's a good deal. Every time I invite him to look at haram, or to listen to haram, or to talk haram, he doesn't repent. But if every time that you commit a sin and you repent, then shaitan will say, no, every time I disgrace him, he disgraces me. So he will stop. And then he will try to invite you to something else. So the best way to protect yourself against shaitan is through repentance. And this is why Imam Hibatullah al-Barizi, rahimahullah, one of the Shafi'i scholars, he said in a manuscript, he said, يعني, وَكُلُّ مَنْ أَخَّرَ التَّوْبَةَ وَهُوَ مُتَمَكِّنْ مِنْ أَنْ يَتُوبَ فِي وَقْتِهِ كَانَ آثِمًا. He says, everyone who delays tawbah, repentance, while he is in the possibility to do tawbah, is a sinner for the time that he does not do tawbah. You see? So if now you have sins that are in your head, you say, oh, I didn't do tawbah for this. For the time that you do not do tawbah, he says, you are a sinner because of not doing the tawbah at that particular instance. And he says, وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. And the people of knowledge agreed upon this. Khalas, end of debate. So we need to do this tawbah. You know, imagine yourself having a backpack, right? And you walk. And while you are walking, I am this funny imam that puts a stone in your backpack. Every step you make, up a bit more. What will happen at the end? It will become too heavy. And now you can't walk anymore. If now again I put another stone and another stone, what will happen? You will fall back. And then you will crawl, and I put another stone. You will stay on your place. And this is what we have for a long time now, that we have the feeling that we do not advance. It's like we're crawling. Like, subhanAllah, if you are on your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every 5 seconds could make you a stronger believer than you were 5 seconds ago. This is dunya. You can use every second to be a better person on the outside and on the inside. Meaning that if we now are almost the same people as we were 1 year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 months ago, then what has happened is shaitan has put his stones in our backpack, we fell down, and we are just crawling and trying to get further away. So what is the only way to walk again, jump again, run again? Emptying your backpack. And this is tawbah. Astaghfirullah, Ya Rabbi. One God. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And not just astaghfirullah like this, you know. This doesn't work. Like, oh, sorry, Rabbi, did again. Astaghfirullah. I mean, Imagine somebody, you know, he destroys your car. Boom, boom, like really. He destroyed all the doors, the windows, went with the key over your doors. It's a new Bentley or a Rolls-Royce Phantom, for example. Whatever, this car. Or just your cheap car. You like it as well, like my little Ford Focus of 2006. So he destroyed it entirely. And then he says, bro, we're brothers, right? What will you say? Really, you will have a look. You will look, is this all you've got? You just say, sorry, bro. This is what we do with Allah. He gives us rizq. We use this same rizq to go against him. And then we say, astaghfirullah. Meaning, we get more angry when people wrong us than when we wrong Allah. This is pure ego. This is ego. I call someone, hey, can you call me back, please? I called him once, twice. I don't even think maybe his wife is pregnant. Maybe they are at the hospital. Maybe someone died. No, I'm so important. There can't be a bigger reason than me. So if he forgets about me, he forgot about the world. So why, bro? I try to contact you. I get angry. Allah calls us 5 times a day. How often are we on time? So a tawwab, when you believe in a tawwab, so to come back, like you have to think at how many times has he already forgiven us? SubhanAllah. And every time we come back, like if we were to treat our friends the way we treat Allah, they wouldn't be our friends anymore. Every time we broke our promise with him, every time we didn't respect our word. But here we are again in the mosque hearing about Allah. And not because we wanted it, but because he wants it. We only wanted it because he allowed it. True? So now, at-tawwab, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one... So I'm always putting this bottle in front of the recording. So, at-tawwab, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that always keeps on forgiving you. At all times. However the sin may be. There might be a punishment, even a capital one in Islam, of course, within a certain context and under a certain law as well, but for that sin, but he would still forgive. You see? And also, it's not because you have sinned that he will remind you of your sin all the time. If you do a true tawbah, then you do not only find him hiding your sin, but also forgiving your sin and erasing your sin. When the more sincere your tawbah is, then there are 3 options. One, he veils the sin from the eyes of people. Like the majority amongst us, people don't know our sins. If our sins would have been written on our foreheads, this would have been problematic. Alhamdulillah, do you know the Salihun? Like Imam al-Munawi, rahimahullah azza wa jal, mentioned in his Fayl al-Qadir. He says, the messenger, about the hadith, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you smell this? They said, Naam ya Rasulallah. They said, what is this disgusting, you know, smell? He said, this is the smell that comes out of the mouth of the people that backbite the Muslimin. Okay, and you can also find it in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah azza wa jal. Now, Imam al-Munawi, in his explanation, Fayl al-Qadir, he says, and it is known that the people, the Salihun from before, and we can understand this from this hadith, used to smell it when people would sin. He said, but now our sense of smell is dead because we sin too much ourselves and got used to the disgusting smell of sins. SubhanAllah. Do you know that the scholar said that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah azza wa jal, and this has been mentioned by many scholars, they said when people used to perform wudu, he would see the sins in their drops, in the drops that would drop off from their limbs when performing wudu. And then he used to walk like this, he didn't want to see their sins, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, please, I do not want to see what people do. And then Allah took it away from him. You know, so now Allah, to come back, At-Tawwab subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani he's the one that either veils the sin from people, but like Imam Ibn Ajiba rahimahullah azza wa jal mentioned, he said some people ask for Allah to veil the people from his sin, and some people ask Allah to veil themselves from the sin. Try to listen. Some people, they ask Allah to veil the people from the sin they commit. And other people, they ask Allah to veil the sin for their eyes. They don't want to see the sin. They want to don't want to think about the sin. And this is why one of the shu'ara said, وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٍ إِلَى التُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحْيِ مِنْ نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظُّلَامَ يَرَانِي. And another said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَرَى دَبِيبَ الذَّرِّ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ فَوْقَ السُّمِّ الصَّخْرِ وَسَامِعٌ لِلْجَهْرِ وَالْإِخْفَاتِ بِسَمْعِهِ الْوَاسِعِ لِلْأَصْوَاتِ وَعِلْمُهُ بِمَا بَدَا وَمَا خَفِي أَحَاطَ عِلْمًا بِالْجَلِيِّ وَالْخَفِي. So the first one says, and when you are alone with your sin, says خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي الظُّلْمَةٍ, and while your ego is inviting you to the sin, then be ashamed that the one who has created obscurity is seeing you. And this is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in al-Jawab al-Kafi, he says, and the sin of you being afraid when you are sinning, that you hear the door, you hear the wind, you hear the stairs, you hear, everything you hear makes you afraid. He says, this sin is bigger than the sin you are committing. لِأَنَّكَ جَعَلْتَ اللَّهَ مِنْ أَهْوَنِ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. Because you have considered Allah to be the less valuable of all those who see you. As long as people don't see me, lock the door, lock everything. Especially in a time where 85% of men look at haram and 63% according to the last studies. Lock the door, lock everything, there you are with haram. Nobody hears me. Nobody sees me. SubhanAllah. This by itself is a bigger sin than the sin you're committing. Sajid. The same with people when doors are locked, men and wife alone, the husband yelling, you are this and you are that and your family this and that. And the wife saying, no, you are this, your mother is this. And then when people visit them, Assalamu alaikum, Habibati, my darling, can you bring the tea please? Yes, sir, my king. You know, so all of a sudden they're playing these Egyptian series where everybody's funny and happy. But when the doors are closed, it's a different story. It's a sin. And this is why one of my mashaykh said, do you know when you are a good person? That if at any time within the day or night, the walls of your life would fall down, that you wouldn't have anything to be ashamed for. This is when you're good. Like when the walls fall down, say, oh, he's a good husband. Wall fall down, oh, he's a good mother, a good spouse, a good brother. He's also good when he's alone. This is when you're good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact of seeing us doing what we do and hearing us saying what we say, he's tawwab. Why? Because he's good. Why? Because he created us with love, not with hate. He created us because he loved us. How do we know? Because he created us to get to know him. Because knowing him is the only thing that makes one happy. Knowing him is the best thing. And this is why some scholars said, sometimes I cry imagining that I could have not been created. And I wouldn't have been given the opportunity to know Allah. And then they would cry. Bismillah. Ajib. So at-tawwab, subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time we sin and come back, he forgives. There was a man, said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhnaba, dhanba, fataba ila Allah. Yani he committed a sin, he asked Allah for forgiveness. Then he committed the same sin, he asked for forgiveness. And Allah forgave him. And like this, he kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. And then Allah told his angels, this man knows that he is sure that he has a Lord that is forgiving. He doesn't doubt it. So I've forgiven him what he does and what he will do. The man didn't know, of course. But, I mean, just knowing that Allah is forgiving and really turning to him in tawbah, he won't refuse your tawbah ever. Can you imagine this? And instead of us then saying, oh, that's good, so I can sin as much as I like. This is shaytan, right? Shaytan sawwala lahum wa amla lahum. Like in Surah Muhammad. Now shaitan is saying, okay, he's dictating you. This is a good thing. Sin as much as you like, tawbah, khalas. Well, the ulama say, one, you never know when you will die. Maybe you will die while sinning. Maybe you will die while sinning. Or without repenting from your sin. You never know. So don't risk it. That's one. Two, when the Prophet ﷺ said out loud to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, when he gave, you know, a lot of money to Jaysh al-Usra, right? He gave money. Until the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever Uthman does after today, it won't harm him. What did Uthman do now, radiallahu anhu? Sit with his legs comfortably, waiting for Qiyamah to happen? He increased in deeds. He increased his worship out of gratitude. So when we know that Allah forgives everything, this is a reason for us to love Him more and to commit less sins. And not the opposite. The opposite is from shaitan. The opposite is from shaitan. And as I said, you never know. This is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah azza wa jalla said, if you are about to sin, know that before the sin you are in a state of tawbah. You are in a state of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger not being upon you. And you never know that it might be your last step towards His anger and that He will never forgive you. You don't know. Because as long as you will be this Muslim, He will forgive you. But what if He closes your heart for Iman? He says, I give you so many chances. Khalas. Hearts are closed. Al-yawm nakhtimu ala, sorry. And over their heart is a rishawa. And is a veil. Khalas. You never know. Khatam Allah. Yani he puts a stamp on your heart, closes it, and done. So it says, before you commit the sin, say, I'm in a safe space now. I'm safe now. And I have a connection with someone whom I love and whom I want to love. And if I now commit this sin, he will be angry with me. And his anger I can't bear. So it's okay, khalas, I don't do it. It's not worth it, really. Then when you are committing the sin, he says, then stop sinning while you fulfill your sin. Run away from it. And with the example of these three men that the Messenger ﷺ mentioned, that when it was raining, that they entered into a cave, and one man said, Ya Allah, you knew that there was a woman I used to love. And that she was in need of money. And I told her that I would give money in exchange for something which you all know. He said, and the moment that I was about to do it, she said, fear Allah. He said, so I left her for what she was and I didn't commit the sin. Ya Rabbi, if I did it for you, help me. And the stone that was, you know, stopping them from getting out of the cave moved bi-ithnillahi azza wa jalla. This is the power of leaving a sin while you are sinning. It's not like, okay, I already started, just finish it then. No. Leave it. What if you were to die while sinning? Subhanallah, that's a question I very often myself ask myself. Like you are yelling at your wife or your husband, your children. You have a lot of stress. Alayka anni. Just leave me alone, you. You've got nothing better to do than to annoy me. Boom, you die. How now will your child think of you? Like, so, oh, what was the last thing daddy told you? Well, he told me to get rid. You know, told me to get out. He told me to get out of his face. Did he hug you? Well, the last time I asked him to hug him, it was when he's going for his job. And he said, not now, I have no time. And he slammed the door in my face. So, this is the question. Like, one, before the sin, two, during the sin, because you might die while you are committing a sin. And this is the most terrible thing. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ سَيُبْعَثْ عَلَىٰ آخِرِ عَمَلِهِ SubhanAllah. You will be revived while doing your last deed. If you died in sujood, you will be revived in sujood. You died while looking at haram, this will be your state. Or listening to haram, talking haram, hurting people. So now, and he said, and if then you survive, wallahi, while sinning, you are in a jungle filled with shayateen. You are in a jungle of people inviting you, jinn inviting you to kufr. You are under a tropical cloud containing rains of ghadab, rains of anger and la'na and cursing that comes upon you. Are you able to bear this? Is your soul able to bear this? So when you survive and you find your way alive out of this jungle of haram and you get out, he said, then throw your head on the ground and say, sorry, Ya Rabbi. And thank him that he gave you the opportunity to do tawbah. Wallahi, haram is a jungle. Haram is a jungle. And the problem is, there are many poisonous plants in the jungle of haram. And when you taste them, they stick to you and don't let go. You know? They get hold of you, they bite you. The venom of haram flows through your body. And if you don't find a doctor very quickly, which is your tawbah, then your soul might die and not even feel that it's far away from Allah, won't regret anything bad it has done ever, and won't be encouraged to do good, heart, dead, body, zombie style. Finished. It's finished. You're like a zombie. You know the sleep modus? That's us then. We're alive and dead at the same time. وَأَجْسَامُهُمْ قَبْلَ الْقُبُورِ قُبُورُ said Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah. Their bodies are graves for their souls before they are in their graves. So now, he says, before the sin, after, during the sin, then after the sin. And if you don't do tawbah, the cancer will grow. The cancer will grow until you're spiritually dead and you don't care anymore. But Allah's mercy is so big. In the Sunan of Abi Dawood, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a man, a pious man, lived in the mountains and his brother in the city. And every morning this man would pass his brother, and his brother would be a sinner. And he would tell him, stop sinning. And then he would say, Abu Itha alayya raqiba? Yani, are you responsible for me? Are you there to observe me? But one day he found his brother committing a very, very big sin. An enormous sin. So now this brother said, khalas, yani, this is too big. He said, wallahi lan yaghfir Allahu lak. He said, by Allah, I do swear, this what you have done now, wallahi, Allah won't forgive you. We don't know what the sin is, but if this man, who was a very pious man, thought that this man would never be forgiven, it means it was a terrible sin. Like you would see someone, man, this is too much. So this man said, wallahi lan yaghfir Allahu lak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed immediately. He said, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيَّ أَنِّي لَا أَغْفِرُ لِفُلَانِ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَطُ عَمَلُكَ. Yani, I what? Who is the one that swears by Allah that I won't forgive this person because I have forgiven him and I have annulled all your deeds? Subhanallah. Ajib. This man was worshipping day and night, day and night, doing da'wah. Yet today, how many people are always saying, you are doing this haram, you're sinning, change your life. Like these people are, I don't know, the gatekeepers of paradise. You know, the key keepers, or do we say gatekeepers? Key keepers? Whatever, it sounds very Hobbit-like, doesn't it? Now, the key keepers, or the gatekeepers, how do you call the people that are in the frontiers? That have to make sure that nothing passes?
Guards.
Not guards. You have them everywhere when you pass the frontiers. The people that check your passports.
Border force.
Some people, they give you the impression that they are the border force of paradise. And they think that Allah's Islam is as small as their understanding of the deen. They think like, Jannah is as big as my brain. Jannah is as big as my little tiny understanding of Islam. We don't have time to judge other people. That's for judges in Islam. Other people are not supposed to judge. This is for judges, not for people. So now to come back, At-Tawwab subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yani it's incredible. So now our ulama said, so when a servant comes back in Tawbah, Allah comes back to him and he gives him exactly what he was giving him. He won't give less. Tawwab means entirely finished. Like when we tell someone, yeah, I forgave you, especially between spouses, okay, khalas, I forgive you. Next time when you're angry, you don't only mention the last year, but 10 years back. You remember when we didn't even have children then. You know, no, you remember that day when we were sitting there, it's like, subhanAllah, we have a list in our heads. This is not tawbah. If we believe that Allah is a tawwab, we have to do the same thing. Erase it, forget it. Is that clear? This is tawbah. So we said when you do tawbah, there are three categories. Either one, that Allah hides it for the people here, but informs you of the sins over there. That you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He says you have done this and that and such and such. If your tawbah is even more sincere, He can do sitr for you even in the akhirah. Now that He doesn't mention your sins, but He can, but you will read them, but there is also complete tawbah where you don't hear about your sins, you don't read them, and they no longer in your book. Nothing. It's like it never happened. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O people, do a tawbah nasuha. What is tawbah nasuha? Huh? Sincere. That's one of the meanings. But it goes deeper. When you say nasaha, what is nasaha? Advice. Tawbatan nasuha, tawbatan sahuk. Tawbah, nasuha means a tawbah that gives you nasiha. How does this work? Well, they said, when Allah, He didn't just say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu. Amanu tubu, O believers, do tawbah. He said, tawbah that advises you. So now this guy said, what is tawbah nasuha? We know that Imam Tabari rahimahullah azza wa jalla mentioned in his tafsir that Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said, and Ibn Kathir rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned it as well, that he said, a tawbah nasuha, a tawbah la dhanba ba'da. Yani khalas, it's a tawbah and you never sin again. And that's a very strong opinion, also the opinion of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and others. But a tawbah nasuha is a tawbah that gives you nasiha. Yani, let us look at this man that Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah azza wa jalla mentioned in his book Al-Riqatu wal-Buka. He mentioned a young man that was crying. And his mother came in and found him crying, crying, crying. She said, son, what has happened? What happened to you? He kept on crying. She said, son, these are the tears of someone who killed someone. It was like, no, like this. These are the tears of someone who killed someone. He said, wallahi ya amma, I have killed. Wallahi, mother, I killed someone. She said, tell me who the mother is, and I will show her your tears, and she will forgive you. It was so intense. She said, tell me who the mother is, and I will get her to look at you, and she will forgive you. He said, Ya Amma. He said, oh, my mother, I killed your son. She said, what are you saying? You are my only son. He said, I killed your son by committing a sin towards Allah. This was how he felt. He felt like it was killing himself. Because each sin that you commit drags you more to hell. Each sin can be this to the left. For you it's right. So to this side. Each sin is a bit like this. Atom weights. Atom weights. Atom weights. Atom weights. Until one sin that you didn't have to commit is that sin that drags you to hell. He said, I killed myself. So now they say, tawbah nasuha, is that what the man mentioned? It is a tawbah that you do where you feel so bad of having betrayed Allah, so bad of having used His blessings to go against Him, to engage in war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you're in panic, and that you say, Ya Rabbi, please, you cry, you can't sleep. When people see you, they see that you're tired, they think that somebody died, but you can't tell them what's happening. They feel pity for you. People make dua for you because they see you becoming even maybe a bit more skinny, and they see that you are pale, your color has changed. What is the reason? Tawbah. Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please, 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 Ya Rabbi, please. Next time, when your tawbah is finished, and you think about committing the sin again, the tawbah you performed last time becomes your nasih, becomes your advisor, and saying, do you really want to experience this pain again? So the tawbah that hurt you so much will then come as a nasuha, yani as a nasihun, as an advisor. Remember last time how it hurt you. The pain of tawbah was much more intense than the joy of sinning. And when a person has a choice between two evils, he will take the lesser one. And he won't, you know, choose for a joy of a minute over pain of days. This is tawbah nasuha. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. A tawbah that becomes someone that gives you nasiha. And these are the ones that Allah spoke about when He said, Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah loves the tawwabin. He didn't say Allah loves the ta'ibin. Tawwabin. وَقَدْ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْكَثْرَةِ نعم. It can, tawwabin can mean how often they do it or how strong they do it. It can be in number or it can be in strength. Is this clear? So when Allah said in the Quran, Allah loves the tawwabin, yani those who do tawbah nasuha. And this is why Abu Hassan al-Shadili, rahimahullah azza wa jal, said, and the tawbah is not just the tawbah of the body, it is also the tawbah of the heart and the mind. Meaning, you might say, I will never drink again, I will never steal again, never commit zina again. But in your heart, you still feel something for it. You say, but I'm not doing it, I'm staying away from it for Allah's sake. That's good. But this person is ta'ib. He's not tawwab. The tawwab is the one that washes away even the passion for the sin, the thought about the sin, wanting the sin. It doesn't exist anymore in his heart. It's like it was never there. Because he knows that Allah has a right upon his heart, and that is إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only the one that comes to Allah with a pure heart, a heart that is purified from everything apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? So tawbah, sometimes when we talk about tawbah, it seems so easy. Like love, peace, harmony, tawbah. An easygoing thing. Yupi, tawbah. Tawbah is one of the most difficult things if you want to do it correctly. It is easy, but it's difficult at the same time. Doors are open. They are never closed. They're always open. So at-tawwab, to come back again. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my servants who have wronged themselves, do not despair about Allah's mercy. Don't. How deep, no matter how deep you've been down in the wells and the oceans and the shallows of haram, He will get you out of there. I mean, when I look at Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second best human being on earth after the prophets, Umar al-Khalifa, Umar al-Khalifa al-Faruq, he was on his way to kill Rasulullah before being a Muslim. He was on his way to kill Allah's beloved one. This would have been the worst sin that you can imagine after a shirk billahi azza wa jal. Or together with shirk, whatever. I don't know. So this would have been one of the evilest things, most evil things to do. Killing, subhanAllah, killing the beloved of Allah. He was on his way to do so. And Allah came with tawbah to him before Omar came with tawbah to Allah. So if Allah was ready to make of someone who wanted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the second best man of this ummah, why do we despair? We only despair because we look at ourselves. And when we look at our weaknesses, we start to doubt Allah. Allah is greater. Allah is bigger. Allah is more generous than we can imagine. It's just for us to repent. It's the only thing He asks from us. Repent. And this is why I very often say, when Tawbah comes to your mind, and you think about the sin, you say, oh, I have to do this. And then you don't listen to that little voice, it might never come back again. And you take it with you in your grave. And there it's too late. So when it comes, it is a khatara, or it's ilhamun rahmani. It's an inspiration, divine inspiration. So don't let it go. Take it. Don't let it go. Hold on to it until you do it. It's the same thing. When the thought of prayer comes into your mind, you're very busy at home. I have to pray. Say, okay, afterwards. And then subhanAllah, how often do we then say, oh, I'm a bit too late now. If you would have done it at the very moment, you would have seen it was Allah's call. It was him doing da'wah. Astaghfirullah Sulaiman. Does Allah do da'wah? Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam. Allahu yad'u ila dari salam. Allah invites to the house of salam, says Allah Jalla wa Ala Himself. So He invites His servants by inspiring them straight into their hearts. So when tawbah comes to your mind, do it immediately, because the thought might never come back again. And then you can't say, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Ya Rabbi, I didn't know. Allah said, I created it in your mind. Why didn't you listen? So now Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah azza wa jal, as I've mentioned once, bismillah, he said, if you want to remember all your sins, lay down during the night in a dark room. You know that some of our scholars used to lay down in their grave, like Al-Hasan al-Basri and others. They would have their grave made, and then they would feel, would I like to be buried here? They'd say, no, you know, another one. So, and then some of them would sometimes lay down in it and sleep. Of course, not with sand over them, just open. That's scary enough. And so I'm not advising you to do this, because then I don't think it's even legal to do that here. I'm advising you just dark room where you're alone, dark, lay down. And you know, pray 2 rak'ah before doing this. You're in that dark room and you imagine that Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, is coming to you. And then you imagine yourself, if he were to come now, what would I do? Like, what would I like to rectify? What would I do? And imagine if he were to say, you've got 48 hours left. What would you do in these 48 hours? Do it. The only reason why we didn't say sorry to some people we really need to say sorry to is because we think that we're still going to be alive to do so. But one day the sun will rise or the sun will set while we are under the ground. Maybe there's no one day there is no tomorrow. So the only reason why we didn't say sorry to people we need to say sorry to is because we think we're going to be alive long enough. The reason why I keep on doing haram is because I'm so sure that I will be alive after my sin. It's all about thinking very far. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. For them it's very far away, but for us it's very near. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. If someone dies, then his qiyamah has started. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one's death is nearer to him than his own shoelaces. What does he mean? One day you might be going for your laces and you die before getting there. This is how quick death can come to you. Say, I'm okay, I will open the... You open nothing. You didn't open the door. إِنَّا لَنَفْرَحُ بِالْأَيَّامِ نَقْطَعُهَا وَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ. What? Who knows it? مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ فَعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ مُجْتَهِدًا فَإِنَّمَا الْرِبْحُ وَالْخُسْرَانُ بِالْعَمَلِ. إنا نسير إلى الأجال في كل لحظة وأيامنا تطوى وهن مراحل ولم أر مثل الموت حقا كأنه إذا ما تخطته الأماني باطل وما أقبح التفريط في زمن الصبا فكيف به والشيب للرأس شاعل ترحل من الدنيا بزاد من التقى فعمرك أيام وهن قلائل. All يعني poems about death. أضحك سنك طول الأمل ولم يبكي عينك قرب الأجل كأنك لم ترى حيا يساق ولم ترى ميتا على مختسل. يعني سبحان الله. Look them up when you listen to the recordings again. I sometimes like these poems. When I used to give khutab in Jordan, I would like to mention poems because poems are very strong, especially in the Arabic language. But the last thing he said was, subhanAllah, he says, when you think about your long life, you keep on laughing, but you never cried thinking that your death might be near. It's like you never saw someone die or never watched somebody on the table, no, where people are watched. So anyway, the reason why we keep on delaying tawbah is because we are 100% sure that we will make it to tomorrow. So he said, lay down and say, what would I rectify if I had 48 hours? And you will have to do things you hate doing. It is so easy to dishonor other people with our behavior, but so difficult to dishonor ourselves by repenting for what we have done. We found the courage to do wrong, we now need the courage to ask for forgiveness. Mothers, fathers, children, spouses, neighbors, teachers, everybody. Even people you don't know, the ones you thought about when driving your car, they said, who do you think you are? You stupid, I don't know, donkey or whatever that people say. You insulted people, they didn't hear you. And now I'm saying very kind words. Allah used the word donkey for people who behave in a strange way. But people say worse than this. These people, even though they didn't hear you, Yawm al-Qiyamah, give me some hasanat please. Say, I don't know, you never saw you, you never crossed. Yes, you were the one. I'm the one you insulted when you were driving your car to the mosque. Today, no mercy. Give me. Give me. All night long, give me. Khalas. This is what is happening. This is why one of my mashaykh said, if you want to talk bad about people, then don't talk bad about China or India. If you were to say all Indians, all Chinese people, you got a billion of people knocking on your door, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Talk about Belgium, you know, it's only 11 million. Or Luxembourg, it's even less. So anyway, don't talk bad about anybody. But what I mean is, it goes very far. Like saying, all these people, all the mosques, Yawm al-Qiyamah, people come looking like beggars for atom weights. And they will find you. They will come with things that you didn't imagine. Like, in the letterboxes, you know, sometimes you get like these publicity things and there is a little cake with it or a little perfume and one fell down, you already had yours. You take it from the ground, put it in your pocket. You might take it with you to hell. Nothing. They said the best way to die is doing halal, not doing haram, and not taking anybody's rights. It's better to die mazlum than zalim. And it's better to live mu'azzazan mukarraman. You know, not, we shouldn't look to be oppressed. But if you have to make a choice, then don't be the oppressor. This is why some of the scholars said, when somebody does you wrong, they said the best thing is laugh. The best thing is just leave it be. Let it be. They said, why? Because when you respond, and if it were not in harmony with the evil he has done to you, then you are the wrongdoer and Allah is on his side. It's difficult. It's difficult to escape from this jungle called dunya. She has outlived all her lovers. And they're all under the ground. SubhanAllah. Okay, so tawwab subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this do to us believing in this name? We have 8 more minutes inshallah. And then we can ask questions if you like inshallah. You must be saying, Sheikh is drinking a lot. But it's due to my diabetes. When my sugar is higher, I feel very thirsty. Yeah, I forgot to take my medication, that's all. So I'm going to drink much more, I think. So to continue, what does this name or our belief in this name does to us or with us? First thing is when we forgive someone, we never mention it again. That's the first thing. You said, I forgave you. Forgiving is forgetting. Because if you say, people say, I forgave but I didn't forget. I mean, then you didn't forgive. Because if you didn't forget, and every time you see the face of that person, you say, okay, that's the one that I am. You know, oh, he's the liar, he's the cheater, he's the one that this, this. You didn't forgive. Forgiving, but how can you forget? By thinking about what we carry with us as sins. Then you can forget other people's sins. When you say like, okay, why shouldn't I forgive him? Look, and he, don't, this is a beautiful story. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to spend on Mistah. Now he used to spend on a man from his family. But when people started talking bad about Aisha radiallahu anha and said that she was not, she didn't preserve her chastity, which is not true, of course. This word munafiqun saying this. But some of the believers took part in that story. So afterwards, when it was clear that she was innocent, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, Abu Bakr said, he was amongst those who falsely accused my daughter. And he stopped spending on him. He said, khalas, I'm giving him this monthly, you know, support, now I stop. He was of the amongst the accusers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, and don't you want, O believers, for Allah to forgive you? And then Abu Bakr said, Bala ya Rabb. He said, for sure. Ya Rabbi, I want you to forgive us. And then he started paying this man again. How can we, in Allah's, for Allah's sake, want Allah to forgive us thousands of sins, but we don't want to forgive one person one sin? Don't you like Allah to forgive you? So this is the best way and the strength to forgive people. It is like, khalas. Yani, I forgive you. And now Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah azawajal, in Hiyal al-Din, he says, but what can you do? You know, he says, make dua for that person. Person that wronged you, you forgave him. Now you're going to do dua for that person. Ya Rabbi, give this person barakah. Ya Rabbi this, Ya Rabbi that. When you see other people, you talk good about him until he's completely out of your heart. Once I asked one of my mashaykh, I said, this person has, and I didn't mention his name, there's a person that hurt me a lot. What should I do? He said, don't talk about him for a year. Don't mention him for a year. Not his name, not what he has done, nothing. And it will go. It didn't go. You know why? Because I mentioned him during a year. Even now I'm mentioning, you know. No, just to say, like, if you can do this, bi-idhnillah, they will go away. The second thing, if we believe in this name, is when somebody commits an error twice, we can forgive him twice. But there's a difference between people amongst themselves or within an organization. Otherwise we would say you can't fire people. For example, this man, employee, is really, you know, creating chaos and forgetting to send mails, and my company is almost, you know, bankrupt, but I keep on forgiving him. I forgive him spiritually, but organizationally, I fire him. Do you understand the difference? So it has limits within a structure. It has limits within education. Like you tell your son, you've got to be home tonight at 8. And he's there at 9. So look, next time when you do it again, you don't go out. And then next time he's late again. And you say, okay, khalas, next weekend you don't go out. And your son says, don't you like Allah to forgive you? You say, yes, I like him to forgive me, and I like him to forgive you, and I forgave you. But you are punished. Khalas, sanctioned. So sometimes we should find the right balance between what we have to do from a spiritual point of view and from an organizational, structural point of view. Otherwise, life would be impossible. Okay? Is that clear? So this is two. Number three, what we have learned is, no matter how big your sin is, it's never bigger than Allah's mercy and forgiveness. Khalas, we have to be sure of this. Four, every time you sin, you repent. Five, think before sinning. Six, think during sinning. Seven, think after sinning. Eight, know that delaying repentance is a sin, according to the majority of scholars. Nine, lay down in a dark room and think about Malik al-Maut, angel of death, coming to you and telling you, you have 48 hours, what are you going to rectify? And do it. There are many things you wouldn't like to do. But wallahi, if you don't settle it here, you will settle it there. And here you can have somebody who's angry with you, but there you have Allah's anger, and they are not comparable. Okay. So this is in brief. Yani there are many hadith about repentance, and you all know them, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving. But I think in the light of the name, inshallah, that this is the most important things that I wanted to say, inshallah. If there are any questions, then you can do so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or I can ask you, what did you learn from this? Yes. Okay, the questions then afterwards. I'm first going to answer ask the questions. So what did you get out of what you have learned from now? Or what did it inspire you with? Or which dimension did it open for you?
We've got to be on our guards all the time.
No. Okay.
Check our actions.
Naam. Excuse me? Naam. Take yourself into account before you are being taken into account. Yes. What else? Naam. Don't take time for granted. Yes. Ajib. Tawbah is heavier than we often think, isn't it? Like it's beautiful, but it's a task. Okay, you have questions.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what about the sins that, obviously we've sinned all our life, what about sins that you can't remember,
Okay.
That you think you might
Yes. Have... The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua when he said, Ya Rabbi, if I've wronged someone. And subhanAllah, he did this to teach us, because he never wronged anyone. He said, Ya Rabbi, if I have ever wronged someone, then make me wronging him hasanat for him on the day of judgment. So this is what we do. There are so many people that we forgot about. So we are going to make a general tawbah. Meaning, Ya Rabbi, all the people I've spoken bad about that I forgot about, Ya Rabbi, bless them. Ya Rabbi, clean their, yani elevate their honor, protect their wealth and health. You are going to make dua, but you mean it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them happy on the day of judgment on your behalf. So this is what we do then. Yes.
And what about you were saying how tawbah needs to be sincere.
Yes.
And not just say astaghfirullah after you do something. But let's be honest, we're sinning all the time. So like the example that you said, I've just spoken badly to my child and then I delay my prayer and all I've just done is say maybe astaghfirullah. I know I've done it wrong, but
yes. Well, I think within sins, from a sinning point of view, there are categories, isn't it? We speak about kaba'ir, sahair. We speak about forgetting. We speak about hafawat, akhta, zallat. So there are many different things that we do. But when it's really wronging someone, for example, you were too harsh with your child, for example. Like you're tired, it was a long day, and keeps on running around and saying, mommy, mommy, like 10 times the same thing. And you say, now it's finished, go away. And you feel that it was too hard. Then the tawbah can be to doing exactly the opposite and taking it into your arms and saying, come here, mama was a bit tired. You see? So you just by doing the opposite, you have reestablished the huquq, the rights of someone. So it can be through an action, or it can be in need of a separate tawbah in a salah, for example. It all depends on the gravity and the level of sin.
And the last one, sorry, Tawab and a little fallen and about Rafid. Yeah, the difference between the one Allah is the one who forgives you constantly.
Okay, it comes down to Ghafir, Ghafur, and Ghafar.
Yeah.
They said Ghafir is the one that forgives a sin for someone that sins once in a particular field. They say the Ghafur is the one that keeps on forgiving the small sins. Then the Ghafur is Al Fa'ul, and Fa'ul means continuously, but it's for the smaller sins. That is for the Zalum. The first one is for the Zalim li Nafsihi, the other one is for the Zalum. And the Ghaffar is for the Zallam. It's for the big sinner, the one that either commits a lot of bigger sins or either for someone who commits one very big sin. So for each of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats the person differently according to the gravity of the seriousness of his sin.
And then, so a Tawab is different because he's just forgiving
Yes, he's forgiving all the time, he's inviting towards Tawbah all the time, and he's forgiving so many people at the same time. No, it's ajeeb. And the best time to ask for forgiveness is during the last third of the night. Where the Prophet ﷺ said that each last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and is there somebody begging for forgiveness so that I would forgive him or her? So that's the best time. Yes?
Sheikh, you know you said, what have you taken from it? I think it's going to take a few days to digest anything.
Okay, I understand.
Give that feedback. Somebody said Sheikh Suleiman is like espresso.
Espresso? I'm going too quick.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. It's strong and it's good. But Sheikh, you know Rasulullah sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Alayhi wa sallam. Yes. Okay. Imam Nawawi as well, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he explained this, and if I'm not mistaken, Abdul Azim Abadi, the Sharih of Sunnah Abi Dawood, he also explained this, and they said when they mention, yani li yaghfir lak Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar, and Imam Razi rahimahullah azza wa jal spoke yani widely about this in his tafsir, the strongest opinion for me is that the sins of the Prophet are not sins. It is, in reality, Prophets are always increasing. They're always getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do tawbah 70 times a day or 100 times a day. But tawbah for what? Well, they say when he's a stage higher, a level higher, and he looks back at that level, then he sees that he wasn't giving Allah his due. In harmony with what he does now. And as this continuously keeps on growing, he continuously keeps on looking to the past as he was falling short. And this is what the sin of a prophet would be. Now, does that make sense? That was to comfort the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, if this is a sin for you, then this is what I forgive. But prophets have no sins. For me, not kaba'ir, and not especially not kaba'ir, but also not sagha'ir.
For example, if a child, for example, ate sugar, and mommy said, do not eat sugar, so it's a sin, so I will forgive you.
Yes, exactly, yes. No.
What about somebody is deceased and it's too late to ask forgiveness directly, from that person?
Yes.
What's the approach there?
I don't understand the question. Excuse me, give me one moment, please.
Too late to ask for forgiveness from somebody who's passed away, you might have said.
I do ask for forgiveness from the person that's passed
away. Someone emotionally or
so the person's passed away?
Yeah.
And you wronged them?
Yeah. So what's the approach there?
flowers in the green.
Thanks for that.
Yes, so what was the last question?
So I was going to ask the same question, you know, example, like, basically, some things may not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the shirk, right? And sometimes you harm someone, whether it's emotionally, physically, financially, etc.
Yes.
And if that individual is not living anymore,
yes.
Right? He's passed away. So in that way, in that sense, how would you ask for forgiveness? Because obviously you've taken his right.
Yes.
And the day of judgment, if he doesn't forgive that individual.
Okay, I see. Well, if it is something, a possession or money, then you give it to those who inherit from him. You see? Because then his possession is reinstalled. If it is by having backbited or gossiped about that person, then it is by talking good about him to the people you have spoken bad with about him or her. And on the other hand, also by making dua, as I've mentioned, when with regards to a person who you don't remember you have wronged, that you can also then make dua. So this would be the correct way to handle this. Wallahu a'lam.
You also mentioned the point about judging others.
Yes.
Sometimes, obviously, in the shop of Ta'ala, your companions, if they miss Salah, or they sort of drinking alcohol, they always found an excuse saying that maybe he just, his family was going to introduce it as well. So they always gave an excuse, maybe he's not good enough. But then if someone missing Salah, for example, they would
condole him.
Yes. Assume that he's kafir. Right? So if we see brothers not pay zakat, not doing Salah, or sisters not wearing hijabs or appropriate clothes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, obviously, if you make a judgment or you're telling them that it's not the right thing they're doing, and obviously the answer majority of the time you get is Allah is the one who's judging you, not you. And because obviously, if the externally you're not showing the signs of being Muslim, I'm not sure how you approach in that case. I know it's not nothing to do with the halal.
Yeah, the thing is that we as Muslims, we are not being burdened with judging or even telling people what to do. In Islam, we would have a judge, or we would have ulama, or we would have ahlul hisbah, yani people that do amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, invite towards good and warn people against evil, who would then be given the permission of a Muslim country to do so with all respect and so forth. So we as Muslim citizens, the way we are now, we can give nasiha to people we directly know, if we think it's good, but we don't have this this duty. We don't have this. Yes. And to be quite frank, very often, subhanAllah, you can find, just to give the example, someone without hijab, hijab is obligatory in Islam without any doubt, but someone without hijab who behaves like someone with a hijab, and someone with hijab that behaves like someone without hijab. So we are very quick in judging people by the way they look, while that what we hide behind how we look is very often not the same. Do you understand what I mean? So like those people who were brought, this man who was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a drunkard, and people started insulting him in Sahih Muslim, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not help shaitan against your brother, because I have been shown that he loves Allah and his messenger. And then this other lady who after she died, or after the Prophet ﷺ gave her the capital punishment at a certain point, because that was at that time for fornication. So she did that, and when he wanted to pray for her, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Are you going to pray for her while she did zina?" And the Prophet said, "Ya Umar, if her tawbah were to be divided among 70 people of Medina, it would suffice each one of them to perform sincere tawbah." And then you have so many other differences, like the Prophet was asked about a lady that gossips about her neighbors but prays at night and fasts extra during the day. He said she's for hellfire. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, she prays during the night." He said, "For fire." And then they said someone who is good for her neighbors and doesn't gossip, but she doesn't pray at night and doesn't fast extra during the day. He said she's for Jannah. One of the women of Bani Israel who had a very bad behavior gave a dog to drink. She went to paradise. And another believer was bad for her cat and she went to hell. So I mean, if you're going to look at this, then it's very...
Yeah, my question was not so...
I understand what you mean. I think if we should advise people, I think the first thing should be on their outward appearance. I really think it should be upon the way they behave. Because a lot of people that appear to be very religious on the outside very often have a terrible behavior. And which doesn't mean that those who don't stick to the rulings of Islam outwardly shouldn't be advised. But I mean, there should be a balance. Yeah. Okay, that's it, inshallah. You have a question? Yes, okay.
No.
Is the means for forgiveness, what do you mean?
So, for example, you know, I think it's a hadith about the, is it pain prick or...
Ah, okay, I understand your question now. Yes, physical pain, yes, of course. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is nothing which hurts a Muslim or a mu'min and he already expiates his sins. And the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that every sadness and every pain, even the, how do you call this? The prick of a thorn of a rose, no? And all of these expiate sins. He says, even when your eye trembles. You know, sometimes when your eye goes a bit like this, maybe nobody ever had it? Someone ever had it? Yeah. So even this takes away the sins. So yes, without any doubt. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan everybody, barakallahu fikum. I wanted to mention this Friday, I won't be able to be there. I mentioned this here. I will mention it to the mosque as well, as I have to go to Belgium, inshallah, this Friday. But on Sunday, after Fajr, for those who come, we will have our class. So after Fajr on Sunday, there's the class of the prophetic soul that will go on, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.